Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
We are on this service, the anointing service. And we're talking about the anointing this morning. What is the anointing and how it works. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to go straight into God's word today because I believe that there's a lot to cover. And I want to take you straight into it. But if you have your pen, if you have your Bible, get them ready so that we can go through the word together. Now, I want you to become like the Bereans in scripture that used to go back and check the scriptures to make sure that what Paul was teaching them was really the truth. Hallelujah. I would like to start by saying that the anointing is the secret. The anointing is the secret. That's a very profound statement I just made. Because it is usually difficult to know what is someone's secret. What is causing this person to do well? What are they using? Especially in the Christian world. We seem to not usually know what exactly is going on. Because we are attending the same church. We are listening to the same sermons. We are going to the same services. Why is one rising and the other is not? As true as it is that there are many other factors that contribute to somebody's elevation or somebody's breakthrough, I think everything can be summed up in one or two words. The anointing. If this can become your focus today, and if I can get you to realize that this is the main thing behind anyone doing well in God's kingdom, then you will also realize that therefore it is possible for you. Because once I start with the other factors, you can easily disqualify yourself because you quickly realize, oh, I didn't grow up in that area. Oh, I didn't go to that school. Oh, I don't have that father. Oh, I don't have that mother. Oh, I'm not from that background. So when we use any other factor, you can quickly be disqualified. And God is so faithful and so merciful. He has made this available to all of us. So the anointing is this. I'm going to talk about the anointing this morning. And I want you to really open your ears and your eyes. Because if you could grasp this, you could be well on your way to greater heights. 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. The Bible here says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, meaning the head of Saul. Saul was being anointed king. He poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? What Samuel was basically saying is that you are now commander over God's people because God has anointed you. Not because you are the right person for the job, not because you're from the right background, not because you went to Harvard, not because you went to Yale. Not because of any other factor. The main factor that is responsible for this elevation. The main thing that is causing you to become this person that otherwise in your lifetime you are never going to become. The main thing that is behind all this is because God has anointed you. So shall I simply say, it's because of the anointing. My point is, the anointing is the secret. And if you could start learning this secret that Pastor Pascal has this because of the anointing. So and so has this because of the anointing. So and so is married because of the... If you could refer things to the anointing, not because somebody is handsome, not because somebody has a light skin, or if you could learn to see the anointing as the secret, you will start moving very fast. You will start moving very fast. Because it will cause you to ask for the right thing. It is because the Lord has anointed you that you are now able to do this. So nobody has been king in your lineage. And there was never going to be a king in your lineage. And as a matter of fact, Saul was the only king in his lineage. After that, it was over. Come with me to Isaiah 10:27. The Bible here says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from, shall be taken from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck. Boy, if you've been on earth for a while, you will desire for certain burdens to be removed. There are burdens every human being under the face of the sun carries. From the president to the peasant. Everybody carries a burden. Or burdens. Hence the invitation of Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened. There's nobody watching me this morning or listening to me that does not have a burden. And some of the burden we carry, we have no clue how to get them off. That's why they are there. Nobody enjoys carrying burdens. They are there because we haven't figured out how to get rid of them. Then it talks about yokes on your neck. But the good news he gives here is that, and the yoke, he says, number one, he shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off from your shoulders. So there's a day when the burden can be taken away. Oh, I wish I knew what that day is. And there's a day when the yoke is taken off your neck. Something that makes you uncomfortable. A yoke in the neck of an animal makes the animal uncomfortable. The animal cannot shift his head the way he wants. He has to look straight ahead and be busy going up and down, plowing the soil. It's uncomfortable. It's heavy. It's tiring. That's a yoke. That's a yoke. But the Bible says there is a day when both the burden and the yoke can be taken away. And which day is that? It says, the yoke shall be destroyed because you are educated. The yoke shall be destroyed because you come to church every Sunday. The yoke shall be destroyed because you are friends with the pastor. Huh? The work shall be destroyed because you got promoted at work. You now have more money. Oh no. The anointing is the secret. The yoke shall be destroyed, according to Isaiah 10:27, because of the anointing. There again, you find the anointing being referred to as the reason why things are happening. The reason why things are happening is nothing else but the anointing. Like, if the anointing is the main thing, the anointing is the secret. Why people's burdens are removed, why the yoke of no marriage is removed, why the yoke of unemployment is removed, why the yoke of a sickness that has buffeted the whole family is removed, why the yoke of this curse is removed, why the yoke of all the burden of this is taken away, is because of the anointing. Look, people of God, if the Bible had another answer, it was going to tell us. So you become something because of the anointing. And things start happening in your life because of the anointing. 1 Chronicles 16:22. Saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. It's the condition of you becoming untouchable is the anointing. Not even your right of being a child. No, that you are an anointed child. There are a lot of children of God that are touched and buffeted every day. We all know, ourselves talking. You know that unless the enemy finds the anointing on you, you will be touched. And you will be touched where you don't want to be touched. So here again, the anointing is the reason behind the protection or the secret behind the untouchability of a person. I'm giving you all these references to show you how important this subject is. Why vital it is for you and I to become very much knowledgeable on the subject of the anointing. Hallelujah. Sorry. Now, therefore, what is the anointing? What is the anointing? Because we see that this thing is what causes people to become something. Do you understand? So whenever you see a pastor doing very well, don't say this pastor is doing well because he's white. You are looking at the wrong thing. Don't say this woman is doing well because she's American. Don't say this guy has a better job because his parents were rich. Once you start using those things, you will disqualify yourself. Today, I want to give you the main reason why things are happening for people. There's an anointing. There's an anointing. There's an anointing behind them. They might not be aware of it themselves. Many people are anointed without knowing. The anointing works in the lives of many people and they are not aware. Are you with me so far? But it just makes a big difference when you become aware. Therefore, you can ask for more of it, like Jesus asked us to pray in the book of Luke, or you can at least become aware when it has reduced. So the answer to what the anointing is found in the book of Acts 10, verse 38. The Bible here says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now, it goes on to say what was used to anoint. Do you understand? So that's how you will know what is the anointing. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hello, somebody.
Oh, yes.
So this is the definition, so to say, of the anointing. The anointing is made of two components. You have the Holy Spirit, and then you also have the power. Do you understand? Yeah. And that Jesus was able to go about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, we're going to go straight to what I want to talk about this morning. This morning, I want to put my focus on tapping into the power of the Spirit. You see, it says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Do you understand? And I can assure you for free that not many of us watching or listening don't have a problem with the Holy Spirit. You're speaking in tongues, you know you have a lot of things happening already. But you're not seeing manifestations, you're not seeing anything happening. Because, you see, you need both before you can have the anointing. Having the Holy Spirit is the anointing, but having the Holy Spirit alone, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Spirit, you will not have certain things. And that is where a lot of people are. So tapping into the power of the Spirit. Tapping into the power of the Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Many of us stop at the Holy Spirit. We don't push further to the power stuff. And that's why you don't go around doing good and having power over forces. Tapping into the power of the Spirit. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. So as Jesus was returning after 40 days of prayer and fasting, he didn't return with the Holy Ghost. When he was going there, he went with the Holy Spirit. You will remember the story. Jesus went to get baptized by John the Baptist. And as Jesus was being baptized, he received the Holy Spirit. And when he received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Spirit led him to the wilderness. Hallelujah. And he was in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights fighting devils. The only thing we remember Jesus doing in that wilderness is that he was talking to the devil. You hear about the temptation of Jesus and the devil. In the book of Mark, it says he was fighting beasts. And after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the only thing Jesus returned with, the only thing he returned with was power. And that power is called the power of the Spirit. So it is different from what he had when he went in. And that's how you understand how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, number one, with the Holy Spirit at the Jordan River. And number two, with power in the desert. Do you understand? So now when he returned, he had anointing. And he was able to operate. Are you with me? So there's a clear difference between having the Holy Spirit and having the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. And as this is Pastor Pascal's definition of the anointing. The anointing is the combination of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit working together in the life of an individual bring about great results. This will explain why many speak in tongues, but they cannot manifest the power. Because you just have one side of it. And I want to show you how case after case, you can clearly see that it is not only the Holy Spirit that is the anointing, even though the Holy Ghost is the anointing, but for you to manifest the anointing really, you need the Holy Spirit, which is the presence, and you need the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the power. You understand? You need the presence and the power. You need both. Hallelujah. The first case is the one in point, the case of Jesus. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It's not the same thing. I say it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. So the anointing was a combination of two things. Then you had the anointing. Let's take the case of John. Luke 1:17. And he, meaning John, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So you see, it's only when he has the spirit and the power of Elijah. That means that he has the anointing of Elijah. He has the spirit of Elijah and he has the power of Elijah. Both the spirit and the power of Elijah. That is the anointing of Elijah. And it is only then that he will be able to do the work. Let's take the case of the disciples. In the book of John 20:22, the Bible says, and when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. No effort. You just receive. But in Luke 24:49, you find the same Jesus. Now he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with what? Power from on high. It's the same disciples. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit.
But after he gave them the Holy Spirit, he says to them, I'm going to heaven, but you should not go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive, watch it, not the Holy Spirit, but the power. You receive now the power from on high, and then you will be ready for work.
Am I communicating to you guys? I guess this is what explains Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Did you see now? Ye shall receive power after. Nobody's talking to me. It is so vital for us precious people to see the difference that exists there. And this, you know, for many years I didn't understand. Why is it as I also pray in tongues, but when I pray for people, I don't say anything. Like, why is it? I'm still, I don't feel the power of God in my life. You see, because you see, you receive the Holy Spirit, but you wait for power. It's not the same. You don't wait to receive the Holy Spirit. You just receive the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to the power of the Spirit, there's work to be done. You have to go for 40 days in the wilderness and fight. You have to fast. There are so many other things that you now need to do before power can descend. And it is only when power descends that you are able to start operating in a certain way. Until then, you are just a spiritual person, but you are not a powerful person. But the anointing we are talking about is power. Like you are able to start doing things. And that is what you are receiving this morning in the name of Jesus. So let me take you through both so that you understand what each is. Do you understand? Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the Holy Spirit. What do we mean by you shall receive the Holy Spirit? When it talks about the Holy Spirit, it talks about the presence. The presence. And the presence is also an anointing, but it is an anointing within. It is the anointing within. And this anointing is basically, number one, for fellowship and for character development. So the anointing within, the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life plays two roles. He is there for fellowship. That's what you have in the book of 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Ghost plays, the Spirit within, the presence, the Holy Spirit, is for communion. And that word communion is participation, partnership, cooperation, friendship, relationship, connection. Do you understand? So the Holy Ghost, when he comes, when you receive the Holy Spirit, he comes primarily to start creating a relationship with you so that you can learn to relate with God. Praise the Lord. So this is the dimension of the Holy Ghost, number one, that fills you up. Ephesians 5 verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean when you say be filled? That's the one, the presence. Be filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's not the power. It's the presence. And anyone who opens themselves up will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the dimension that also builds you up. Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I'm talking about the first dimension of the Holy Spirit. The one you receive.
The one the Bible says, and God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. The one the Bible says, and Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The one Acts says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come. So the Holy Ghost that he's referring to, that dimension is the anointing within, is the presence, is for communion, is for fellowship, is for friendship. And it is also for character development. So, and so I'm just trying to show you how we operate with it on our normal daily lives. Meaning we, when you are praying in tongues, you are operating with the Spirit within. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you are dealing with the Spirit within. Mostly. Do you understand? That's the one that will be with you forever. It doesn't go anywhere. The Bible says in John 14:16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever. You see, the Spirit within doesn't go anywhere. He will always be with you because you need him for your redemption, because he is like your deposit or your guarantee that God has chosen you. So if he's no more there, then you have a problem. The Bible says whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Number four, that's the dimension that teaches you and reminds you of things. John 14:26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. That's the dimension. I'm showing you that, and this is happening in your fellowship, your communion. That's where he teaches you. That's where he shows you. That's where he guides you. 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. That's the one, you see, the within one. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So that's the anointing that teaches you. And he says it is not counterfeit. So whenever the Holy Ghost is teaching you something, it is true. He's not lying to you. And you many a times you live to realize he was telling you the truth. You say to you, change friend. Don't continue moving with this guy. It was just like promptings. You'll be unsettled. That's the Spirit within. That's not the power. That's within. 5. He builds your character. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Are you listening to me? This is the Spirit within, the Holy Spirit, the first dimension. He's the one that builds your character. Because this is called the fruit of the Spirit. A fruit is something that appears after something has been there for a while. Do you understand that? If you say that this is the fruit of a mango, it means you had a mango in that place for many years. That mango grew, that mango developed, and that mango has now produced a fruit. So the anointing within you that does not go anywhere, that is with you forever, is that anointing, when you cooperate with him from within, he starts helping you to produce love, joy, peace. He starts influencing you. That's the right word, actually. He's with from within. So he influences you. That's the word I was actually looking for. The anointing within is for influence. He influences you, your behavior, your words, and all of that. That anointing also leads and guides you. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Power doesn't lead you. But the Holy Spirit, the presence, is what leads you. That's why when Jesus received the Holy Spirit in the Jordan, he was led in the wilderness. Because at that level, it could lead him, but it could not empower him to heal. He needed the power for healing. He didn't have it yet. He needed to go and receive it in the desert. So the Spirit within led him where the power will be received. 7. That's the dimension that can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So you see, when you start lying, he starts grieving inside. You just start losing. You start feeling something is wrong. You are dislocated. Something is wrong. When you watch a bad movie, you start feeling him. He's no more happy inside of you. He's being grieved. When you disobey, he starts being grieved. And some people grieved him until number 8, where they quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit. They quench the spirit. In other words, even though he is there, he is no more active. He will never go anywhere. He will always be with you. But as for relating, as for communing, as for fellowshipping, as for leading, as for feeling, as for refreshing, it could be another story. So believers, there are believers, especially believers that are living in disobedience, they don't have an active and a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. They fabricate tanks every Sunday to make it look like they are also, but the rivers have been dry. There's no flow. Why? Because they kept grieving the Spirit through disobedience, grieving the Spirit through sin. And they even ended up quenching the Spirit. That the Holy Ghost is in you and in me forever doesn't mean he will take every nonsense. He's a gentleman. He moves with you based on your cooperation. When you consistently ignore him, when you consistently overlook him, when you consistently disregard him, he leaves you alone. It will be very painful for him, but he will have to let you do what you want to do because you are a free moral agent. That's why the book of, God's servant, Benihin, is so important to understand that the Holy Spirit, you need to have a relationship. That's why he was saying, good morning, Holy Spirit. He's talking about that, the Spirit within you that is for fellowship, for communion. And you need to be very sensitive because at any given time, you can start doing things that he's no more happy with. That's why you have to be very sensitive to work with the Holy Spirit. Always check, are you still in tune with him? Or maybe you just said something or you thought about something, you need to repent from it. That's how you stay in touch with him. So that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the presence, the anointing within. And that is where you start your journey. And he usually leads you to the power. So you receive him first, and as you start cooperating with him, he will start gently moving you to the second dimension, the same way he did with Jesus, where you now get the power of the Spirit, which is the next thing I want to quickly talk to you about, the power of the Spirit. Tapping into the power of the Spirit. Tapping into it. And many of you, by the grace of God, you will start tapping into the power of the Spirit. Amen. You will not just have the Holy Spirit where you are speaking in tongues and there's nothing that happens after that. You will start tapping into the power. Because God said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you to the power. He will lead you to your desert. He will lead you to your wilderness. The same way he led Jesus. He will lead you to what will get power inside your spirit. Now the power of the Spirit is what we call the anointing upon. The anointing upon. Wherever you read your Bible, you see the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. That one is not fellowship. That one is for power. And you will see that the next thing that will follow, there will be manifestation of power. The anointing upon. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, unto the uttermost part. So you see that as soon as the power upon comes, it's followed by manifestation. You start working, you start doing things. 1 Samuel 10:6. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully
upon you and you will prophesy. So you see, until then, you could not prophesy. You could speak in tongues, but you could not prophesy. But that is, the spirit within causes you to speak in tongues. But the spirit upon causes you to prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? To prophesy means to preach. To declare the word of God to people. Preaching is very spiritual. And what I'm doing here now, the Spirit of God is upon me. That is what is enabling me to do what I'm doing. Otherwise, I'm just an orator. I'm just a lecturer, like a teacher in a school. The power of the Spirit upon me is what gives power to the same words I'm speaking. Those words start having power because they are anointed by the Spirit. By the Spirit. Are you still here? Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Not that upon. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So you see, this one, these are all manifestation of power. And you cannot do these things if you only have the Spirit within. The Spirit within is for you. But the Spirit upon is for service, is to help others. Are you getting this? Praise the name of Jesus. Now, quickly, as we close this morning, how can I tap into the power of the Spirit? Well, the first way is what you saw Jesus doing. The Bible says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in the book of Luke 1 that we just saw now. He returned in the power of the Spirit. But what did he return from? He returned from an extended time of prayer and fasting. Therefore, prayer and fasting will always be one of the main avenues through which an ordinary believer can become a powerful believer. Prayer and fasting will empower you. The anointing, the power dimension of the anointing will start coming on any believer that adds prayer and fasting to whatever they are doing. No wonder Satan fights this so much. No wonder Satan doesn't want believers to fast. No wonder Satan doesn't want believers to pray. Because it is in that place that you receive power. It is in that place that you receive empowerment. Yes. Yes. Make no mistakes about this. It is truly proven in scriptures. David speaking says, "Oh Lord my God, my soul longs for you. My flesh thirsts for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." That's fasting. Next line, to see your power. To see your power. So I have gained that through a time of prayer and fasting. To see your power. Check anybody that is operating in power. You will always find a foundation of prayer and fasting. Or a constant servicing through prayer and fasting. You cannot sustain the power of God without prayer and fasting. You will need constantly, you know, to fast and pray. It is how we do it. And the interesting thing is, prayer and fasting is not just the way Christians receive power. It's the way everybody receives power. You go in the occult, they'll ask you to fast and pray. You go to anywhere you go, where when we talk about power, there'll always be fasting involved. So now we're coming from 21 days of prayer and fasting. We ask you to fast, say, "Hey, I'll not fast." So, how will you then tap into the power? You will remain just with the present, and even the present becomes hectic because you can't even obey now.
So at least we have brought, we keep this thing rolling every Friday. And if you could join fully and say, from now on, I want to tap into the power of the Spirit. So I do not want to continue cheating myself out of a glorious destiny by cheating the fasting. You will see great victories in your life. Now, the second way through which the power of the Spirit gets given to you is what happened to John the Baptist. The Bible says he shall go on in the Spirit and power of who? Elijah. The Spirit and power of Elijah. In the book of Numbers 11:17, God talking to Moses says to him, then I will come down to talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. You see, whenever you say upon, we talk about power. I'll take of the Spirit that is upon you and put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. So you see that another way to tap into this power is that God takes this from a person that already has it. We call him a carrier. A carrier is a person that is already anointed. We call him the anointed and his anointing. The anointing is with somebody, meaning the Spirit and the power. He has combined both. He has them. When you receive it from him, you don't receive small and small and start. It comes together. It's already together. So it starts working instantly. Ooh, my God. You will remember the story of Elisha, 2 Kings 2 verse 9. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your Spirit be upon me. Upon me. That's for service. That's the empowerment part. And when that Spirit came upon Elisha, Elisha didn't go for another class. Elisha didn't go for another retreat. He resumed the duties immediately. Because when you get it from a carrier, it comes with both combined. It is ready for work. It is ready to work. When you are developing it yourself, you need to go and get small presence here. You know, you get small power there. You will be there for a long time. So God found a way. Somebody already has it at a high level. And you can tap into what they already have. Take my example. How do you think I'm here? Huh? Never went to Bible school. Never been with great men of God across the nations of the world. Why are we able to do the little thing we are doing here? I've been tapping into the anointing of another man of God. You can see this is a clear example of how this thing works. I've been mentioning Bishop Doug in this ministry over and over and over again as the source from where what is working in my life, the little that I'm seeing so far, is coming from that source. And I've never met the man before. But I've tapped into the power and the Spirit that he's operating with. Because the anointing can be shared. You hear God told Moses, I take from what you have and I'll give to 70 people. And they will start doing what you are doing. Wow. What a blessing. Now, why is it that many move with an anointed person, but they never get the anointing of the anointed person? Some of you are moving with your shepherd every day, but you are not getting what your shepherd, that you are unable to do what your shepherd is doing. Some of you have been in Alive Bible Church for many years, you are still unable to do what your pastor is doing. What is the cause of people being unable to tap into what the carrier has? Even though it is available, it is in their midst, it is right there in their presence, but they can't tap into it. Number one is unbelief. Unbelief. Mark 6 verse 5, the Bible says, now Jesus could know, Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuit teaching. He left them. Unbelief. You see, Jesus told people, believe in God, but believe also in me. He said, if you don't believe in a man of God, no matter what power he has, it will never come to you. It will never come to you. You have to believe that this person was sent to me. The 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophet, you shall prosper. You see, prosperity is the one people will see. And for you to prosper, you have to actually believe in a man of God. You have to believe in your pastor. You have to believe that this is the pastor God has given you. Hallelujah. The second reason why people don't catch the anointing of their man of God is familiarity. Mark 6:3. They said, is this not the carpenter? The son of Mary. The brother of James. Of Joseph. Of Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Familiarity. Familiarity is one of the reasons why you will be with your pastor for 10 years, but one drop of the oil on him will never touch you. First of all, you don't believe in him. And you see, one of the reasons why also you don't believe in your pastor is because you get to see his mistakes. You get to see some of the things that maybe he's not doing so well. And that leads you to become familiar with your pastor. Jesus could not do anything here, and his anointing could not work because people were too familiar with him. Brothers and sisters, be careful that you become too familiar with your shepherd. Be careful that you become too familiar with your shepherdess. Be careful that you become too familiar with your pastor. In fact, that you become familiar altogether. Not to, but I mean, familiar, to even be familiar is already a problem. Am I communicating?
Oh, yes, sir.
Are you here?
Oh, yes, sir.
Or you are going home already?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So as I close this morning, because my desire is that you should get anointed.
Yes.
My desire is that you should tap into the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
In the power. The power is with somebody. And it can be given you. But only if you believe in the person. And number two, you don't become familiar with the person. So what can I do to avoid becoming familiar with my pastor? What can I do to avoid becoming familiar with my shepherd? What can I do to avoid becoming familiar with my lady pastor or with my shepherdess? What can I do? Let's focus on your pastor. Because every organization has a main leader. And your loyalty is always towards the greatest person in command. Let me just mention this to you. You guys are in branches. But your loyalty must not be more towards your shepherd than it is towards your main pastor. Because I see those things happening because you guys don't understand who is actually your pastor. I, by divine grace and divine appointment, has been chosen by God to be your pastor. Your shepherd is appointed by me to represent me where you are there. Your loyalty must be to him, but your loyalty must be more towards me as your main leader. You must never miss that thing. Because if you don't understand it, you find yourself where you are more loyal and you are more flowing with your shepherd than you are even flowing with your main pastor. So, we need to address this issue here right now. Because there cannot be many anointings in the church. It is the anointing of the main pastor that must flow in the whole church. And for that anointing to work, all the members must be connected to the main leader. So the shepherd must work towards connecting everybody where the anointing is. So how do I make sure I do not become familiar with my pastor? Number one, receive your pastor. Receive your pastor. John 1:11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Do you know what it means to not receive a person? Okay, it's not that you, when he was coming to you, you chase him away. It could mean that, but that is not usually the case. To not receive your pastor means you don't value his words. You don't receive his words. You don't obey anything he says you should do. That's how you say you have not received him. You were in attendance, but you did not receive him because his words meant nothing to you. You've come to the joint service, but just to show face. You are not looking forward to hearing your pastor finally. You don't have your notes ready. His words are not really landing in your heart. His words are landing on the floor. You are not receiving him. For you, he's just an entertainer. Somebody who is talking nice. You are not seeing him as your prophet, you see. You are not seeing him as the voice that is sharpening and charting the course of your destiny. The Bible says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power. So the anointing goes to those who receive the anointed. Those who receive the anointed. Not those who criticize the anointed. Not those who oppose the anointed. Not those who always have something to say after the anointed has preached. But those who actually, first of all, they love the anointed, they receive everything he says. They admire him. Look, let me be very honest with you. You will never receive from a person you don't admire. Never. A pastor was preaching one day, and then he made an altar call, started blessing people. He put hand on somebody and said, receive. Receive, receive. He came to this girl, he placed his hand on her voice and said, receive. She says to him, she asked him, receive what? Look at that type of, she's asking the man of God, receive what? Ah. So receive your pastor. As the man God has sent in your life to help you. Paul encountered this problem in 1 Corinthians 9:2. He says, even if others think I am not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourself are proof that I am the lost apostle. He said, I might not be a pastor to everybody in this area, but to you I am a pastor. And you must receive your pastor. You must never be ashamed of your pastor. You must never make it look like, hey, you know, yeah, everybody, so I'm also joining the group. These are the attitudes that cause many to be around the anointed and go without nothing. Number two, receive your pastor's wife. Receive your pastor's wife. A lot of places, the pastor is received, but his wife is opposed. The pastor is loved, but his wife is despised. Let me tell you all something. Long before you guys knew me, this woman was by my side. I'm talking about my wife now. And if she had not helped, a lot of the things that you and I are saying today were never going to be possible. If she was giving me problems in the house, I don't think I'll be able to preach the way I'm preaching. But you'll be surprised that a pastor's wife will give an instruction and people will not mind. They will not mind. They will not bother themselves. Now, it's not about her. It's about who she's representing.
It's about who she's representing. I don't think you can just go around insulting President Melania Trump. You start slapping her because she's a woman. You will rot in jail. Because that's the president's wife. The last time I checked, they call her the first lady. The first lady. It's a title. The first lady. There are many ladies, but she's the first. She's the first lady. In our system, my wife is actually called Lady Pastor Pumi. It's a title. She's going to grow and she's going to become Lady Reverend. And possibly one day, Episcopal Sister. Now, your disrespect to my wife is a direct disrespect to me. Direct. Direct. I'm always cautious of people who disrespect my wife. I'm always cautious of people who honor my wife. I take note of it. When my wife goes to a chapel and people don't buy her any gift, I take note of it. When my wife goes to a chapel, and even when she comes back, I don't see anything different. It's the way she went and she came back the same way. I see dishonor. Yes. And it's been happening. It's been happening. So we need to correct ourselves. You cannot partake of this grace if you dishonor my wife. I want to be very honest with you. It will not flow. It will not flow. And those of you that are working with her, even here in Kalanyoni, where she is with you on a regular basis, it is such a big temptation to become familiar with me and with her, and you are now bringing a double curse on yourself. Meanwhile, you are in a place where you're supposed to be elevated. You see now? I see us changing. I see us becoming better. Amen. At doing these things. Praise the Lord. Amen. Number three, receive your pastor's assistant as himself. What are my assistants? My shepherds. The shepherds I have sent in the chapels or in the locations, those are my direct assistants. In fact, they are me in those, because I'm the one who was supposed to be there. So I send them to represent me. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said to them in Matthew 10 verse 44, "He who receives you, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me." Let's be careful how we relate with the people that are sent. The shepherds that are in the branches didn't send themselves. They didn't start the branches by themselves. I am aware of whoever is where, because they are there under my authority. Now, when you disrespect them, when you belittle them, you are doing it directly to me. The only thing is that you haven't had the opportunity yet to do it to me directly. But it's a matter of time. Whoever disrespects my shepherd has disrespected me. Whoever helps my shepherd has helped me. Whoever finds my shepherd is fighting me. And like I'm saying, it's a matter of time. They will find me directly. They'll find me directly. So those of you that are in the chapels there, you are giving a hard time to the shepherd. And you are saying, you know what, pastor, you know, we don't have a problem with you. But it's just this shepherd. It's just this shepherd. Listen, I don't believe you 1 minute. Anybody that opposes the people I have sent is opposing me directly. Directly. And I don't think you and I will be good friends. Because what you are doing to them is what you will do to me if I just stay with you a little time. You will do the same thing to me. In fact, you're already doing it to me by doing it to them. So this is how the disloyalty and the disrespect and the familiarity can be killed. By you, number one, receiving your pastor, receiving his wife, receiving his assistants. You are positioning yourself to receiving the anointing. Yeah.
And resisting this thing that I'm telling you about, you will, I mean, the anointing of Malah will run away from you like it is from the west. Number four, do not entertain negative thoughts against your pastor. What do I mean by negative thoughts? Accusations, criticism, opposition, equalization, confrontation, and pride. Those are negative thoughts that you shouldn't entertain. I'm not saying negative thoughts are not going to come to your mind. We all have negative thoughts visiting us. I'm saying do not entertain them. Don't let them stay. As soon as a bad thought wants to enter, cast it down, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of the word of God. Do not entertain negative thoughts against your pastor or against your shepherd. It will not work in your advantage. Luke 11:17, but he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself shall fall. Jesus was saying, you see, the type of thoughts you guys are entertaining will not help this organization. This thing will not go far. Because they haven't even spoken, they are just thinking. And Jesus said, those thoughts will make the house to fall. Number five, listen to your pastor's voice constantly. Listen to your pastor's voice constantly. Mark my words, precious people. By far, the most important one is this one. I'm talking in terms of receiving the anointing of your pastor. This one, listen to the voice of your pastor constantly. John 10:17. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Anyone not listening to my voice is not following me. They are following other people in the church. Maybe they are following their shepherd. Maybe they are following a beloved. Maybe they are following. You know, you can be in the church. You are not following the pastor. You are following something else or someone else. The people that I will say are following Pastor Pascal are the people that listen to his voice because they consider themselves as his sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. Proverbs 4:20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. If you are a son in this house, you will pay attention to what your father is saying. You will pay attention. You will pay attention. John 6:63. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. So the anointing is in the words. Ezekiel 2:2. Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. Oh, the spirit entered me when he spoke to me. So when you are listening to your pastor, the spirit that is stirring up your pastor starts entering you. You know, I can always tell when a person has got my spirit. I know they listen to me a lot. They don't criticize me. They admire me. They see me as a blessing, not a burden. Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Hallelujah. So the people who hear the word receive. You see, the Holy Spirit fell where? Upon. Remember I told you, upon is for power. the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word.
Let's go back. Number six. How can I make sure I do not become familiar with my pastor? Correct your behavior after listening to your pastor. Many people will shout in the church, watu wa muruti. They don't change anything about their behavior. They are just excited. You see, you are showing great respect to your pastor when you correct something in your life simply because your pastor said it here on the pulpit. Luke 6:46. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? You might as well call me Mickey Mouse. You might as well call me John Cena. Why do you call me pastor, my mfundisi? And you don't do anything I say. My instruction falls to the ground. Some of you have been hearing me teaching about tithing for years. You've never done it. But you say I'm your pastor. Correct your behavior after listening to your pastor is a quick way to draw his anointing because it's a sign of honor. I'm not doing this because I want something. I'm doing this. The only reason is my pastor preached about this and I decided to correct myself. What an honor. And what a dishonor to hear your pastor pound on something week in and week out and you go and do exactly the opposite of it. This is why many people don't have the anointing. Can I shock you today? I've never met Bishop Doug in my life. I'm trusting God to meet him this year by the grace. But I tell you, even the way I do things in my house is controlled by something I hear him say to other people. There's green grass in my house today because I heard him one day telling people in a camp that how can you build a house and everywhere is concrete? He said, there's not even one tree in your yard. Your whole yard is concrete everywhere. Is it a prison? He said, you must have a sense of beauty. When you build something, there must be green here. There must be a tree here. I was hearing him talk to people in a camp. I said to myself, my God, if I'm going to have a place, there must be green here. There must be a tree here. It is up to that level. A man I've never met before. Why will his spirit not chase me? Because it senses I honor the words. Because the spirit of a person is like the person. You see, Elisha said, let the double portion of your spirit. You see, the spirit of a person is the most important, is the actual, the real person. That's the real thing about the person. His spirit. It knows everything. You can't fake it. Seven. Do what is right, especially when your pastor is not around. That's another great sign of honor. A lot of people do things when the pastor is present. They all become sheep. They all become docile. They all become so nice. But the real thing, the real deal is when pastor is not there. When shepherd is not there and you still do the right thing, that's how you draw the anointing of your pastor, because all of those things that I'm mentioning to you are signs of honor, and honor is what opens the door to the anointing of somebody to come to you. Honor. Galatians 4:18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, not only when I am present with you. Not only when I am present with you, but even if I'm not there, it is good to always be zealously affected. Zealously affected. You know, when I visit the chapels or the branches, people are always so excited. But I'm hoping that even when I'm not there, the excitement is also there. That is not just because pastor is here today, so everybody is trying to be in their best behavior. Meanwhile, on a normal Sunday, when pastor is not there, you are grumpy, you are not singing, you are not worshiping, you are not lifting your hands, you are even the reason why the presence of God has left the church. But as soon as you see pastor, ooh, Muriti, everybody starts dancing, everybody becomes the best worshippers in the world.
No, it is good to be zealously affected always, always. Not only when pastor is there. Be affected always. Be happy always. Be helpful always. When you hear pastor is coming, then people start making themselves available to come and clean the church, to come and get involved. But when and it's a normal Sunday, you can't even get them on their phone. No. That's not the right thing to do. Lastly, to ensure that you never become familiar, but that you continuously open a door of honor that will allow the anointing of your man of God to rest upon you, sow into your pastor's life and ministry. Sow seeds into his life and his ministry. Our last scripture for the day, Genesis 27, 3 to 4. Today was like a lecture. A lot of scriptures to get you going. Hallelujah. Isaac, to give you a bit of background, is about to die. But he decided that before he dies, he wants to pass on the anointing that has been working on him. He wants to pass it on his son, Esau. But the interesting thing is, he doesn't say to Esau, Esau, come and kneel down. Let me anoint you. Listen to what he tells his son. He says to him in verse 3 of Genesis 27, now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. Ooh. And make me a savory food, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. Somebody will say, but this is a wicked father. Why make your son work so much so that you can bless him? Is he buying the blessing now or what? You see, you are very deluded. He says, so that my soul may bless you. This thing is from within. You need to provoke it. You need to activate it. You say, I can just bless you like I bless everybody. But you can do something and my soul gets provoked. Do you understand? Like now, like you have provoked me from it. Just like, you know, you can do bad things throughout your life. Your mother will not really, she will say things, but they will not really mean much. But you provoke her, you will do something so evil. You provoke her and she will say something and you are finished. You are finished. And equally, you can provoke, but in a good way. Because what actually brings the anointing is, you see, the soul of the spirit, something from within them, is what will touch you. My hand will end on your head, but my spirit will go deeper than your head. So to know how to provoke a blessing. There's one of the shepherds in the church. For a long time, he was just in the system. You know, we were just okay. But a time came where he was going through a very hard time. But even though he was going through that hard time, he was forced to come to church. Forced to come. He would take a taxi, drive, come. And there is a day he came to church and he tried to do whatever he could do. And then he was now going back to catch a taxi. And I was driving, going to work, and he happened to be in front of me as I was driving. And I saw he was wearing a jacket and a shirt. And I looked at the Holy Ghost drew my attention to the collar of his shirt. The collar of his shirt was torn. You know when it's been used so much, it has splitted. And I saw the collar of his shirt. And I saw his shoes. That they were worn. But he was excited. He would come and he would do whatever he can do. I didn't pray for him. I just said in my car, Lord, bless this young man. That's all. My spirit was provoked by his desire to be in the church, even though things were so difficult. He had come many times. I didn't say something like that. But that day, my soul was provoked. I said, Lord, bless this young man. God is my witness. Less than a month, he got the job he still has until today. Yes. Yes. So, precious people, this is how you tap to the power of the Spirit. It's available. If you and I will check these things and correct ourselves, oh, we'll have a great time in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. May God bless you today. May God empower you. May God use you mightily. May you receive the power of the Spirit. And may you start operating with the power of the Spirit in every area of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, before I go, I want you to pray for somebody. You are watching, but you are not born again. Your sins are not forgiven. You haven't made Jesus your Lord and your Savior. Can I pray for you today? Maybe you want to operate in the anointing. Jesus is the one who gives the Holy Spirit. And Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to believers. Right now, you say, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to pray for you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand and Pastor will pray with you. One, two, three, your hand up. God bless you. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want God to, God bless you. God bless you. Now you are already born again, but you want to recommit yourself to God. I also would like to pray for you. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand. One, two, three, your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. That's right. God bless all of you. Now, we're going to pray. You repeat simply after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again. That I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.